Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 54 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
A witness at the scene said that the operator of the vehicle had walked away from the scene.
A Clearfield man is facing multiple charges after a Sunday night car wreck.
Several Moorhead homes were without power Sunday night in West Moorhead.
The state speaker of the House has resigned from his leadership position.
A local recovery center has received a community development block grant.
Rowan County's clerk will run for re-election.
In sports, Moorhead State men's basketball plays at home tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain tonight with a low of 44 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Clearfield man is facing driving under the influence charges after hitting a telephone pole on West Main Sunday night. 40-year-old Russell Miller allegedly hit the pole around 6 p.m., and witnesses told police he walked away from the accident. Captain Kyle Callahan says police found Miller in a nearby home.
So the police went to his house, and they noticed he was sweating a lot, and he had every indication of being under the influence of something. So he asked if he had taken anything, and he said that he had used heroin prior to driving.
Miller is charged with a DUI, leaving the scene of an accident, driving without a license, and failure of owner to maintain insurance. Miller was taken to UK Hospital. There's no word on his condition at this time.
That accident on West Main Street left several Moorhead residents without electricity last night. City Fire Chief Jeff Anderson reports a vehicle ran into a power pole and knocked in over. According to Anderson, the pole had several transformers on it, and power was knocked out to those in a nearby neighborhood for a number of hours.
It only affected a few streets up around Heights and White Street, I believe, we didn't get that many complaints, so I don't think, surprisingly, it wasn't as much as it was. But when they did their repairs, I'm not sure how much they had to shut down.
Anderson says Kentucky Utilities had to bring in crews from a few different areas to work on restoring power.
The leader of Kentucky's House of Representatives has stepped down. Jamestown Republican Jeff Hoover resigned yesterday following accusations of sexual harassment by a former staffer. Speaking at a news conference in Frankfort, Hoover said he wants what's best for Kentucky.
I did make mistakes in that I engaged in inappropriate text messages. I engaged in banter that was consensual, but yet, no mistake, it was wrong on my part to do that. And for that, I am truly sorry.
That sound was courtesy of Spectrum News' Pure Politics. The announcement came a day after Governor Matt Bevin called for the immediate resignation of lawmakers or state employees accused of sexual harassment. Prospect Republican David Osborne is next in line for the speaker's position.
The staffer who accused House Speaker Jeff Hoover of sexual harassment is resigning. Attorney Thomas Clay tells WKYT that the woman's resignation is imminent. Clay represents the woman who agreed to a confidential settlement with Hoover. Clay says that the woman was not forced to resign and that he could not comment any further.
The Kentucky Attorney General's office says the State House of Representatives violated an Open Meetings Act by holding a private meeting to discuss the state's pension systems. The Bluegrass Institute Center for Open Government filed an open meetings complaint in response to House members holding a closed-to-the-public meeting in August to discuss a state-funded analysis of the public retirement system. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Assistant Attorney General Matt James wrote in the opinion released Monday that a quorum of House members were present, so the meeting should have been opened. An attorney for the House had argued that the meeting was for the House Majority Caucus, with members of the House Minority Caucus invited as guests. Both entities are exempt from the Open Meetings Act. The House has 30 days to accept or appeal the ruling.
More than 3,000 sexual assault kits, part of a massive backlog, have finally been tested. Haley Hansen reports.
A 2015 inventory found more than 3,000 untested rape kits throughout the state. The director of the Kentucky State Police Crime Lab gave WLKY an update on that backlog.
We think that we should start cranking out the cases early in the winter and get the backlog turned down.
She says their lab is on track to meet a new requirement that they be able to test rape kits within 90 days by 2018 and within 60 days by 2020. I'm Haley Hansen.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is hoping his Republican colleagues get better soon. McConnell says Senator Rand Paul's absence while recovering from an assault creates another challenge in what's become a daily, quote, Malox moment, while trying to keep together his slim Republican majority. McConnell says they'll confirm four judges by the end of the year.
These sharp young individuals, I think, will have a huge long-term impact on the country, probably the biggest impact any president ever has, are these lifetime appointments.
One of the senator's neighbors is accused of tackling him from behind at Paul's home. It's unclear when Paul will return to work. We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University, hosting an open house from 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday, November 13th at 149 East Main Street in Morehead. The Innovation Launchpad offers office space, technical assistance, on-site counseling, and business development services to new and existing small businesses. Refreshments offered, and the public is invited to the Innovation Launchpad's open house from 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday, November 13th. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
A man charged with murder and robbery after the death of a Somerset woman pleaded guilty today. Dwight Bell appeared in Pulaski County Court to face murder charges. According to WYMT, Carolyn New was found murdered in her church's activity center. New's family says Bell was seen around the church looking for help.
The church took him in, and I'm just going to assume from that point he may have talked to Mom, and my mom was always real nice.
Surveillance showed that Bell was in Tennessee, where Dandridge police arrested him. Bell is currently housed in the Pulaski County Detention Center. A bond has not yet been sent.
Following a burglary that occurred this morning, Lexington police were involved in a multi-county car chase. WKYT reports that the chase began in Manchester Street at the C&P Market. During the investigation, police spotted a car they believed may have been involved in the robbery, and Lexington police decided to pursue the vehicle. The driver eventually crashed on Frankfort Road in Scott County. Three juveniles were in the vehicle and were taken into custody. It is unclear if anything was stolen from the store.
KSP has confirmed an officer-involved shooting in Knott County. According to LEX 18, the shooting happened Monday off Highway 899 on Thornsbury Branch Road in the Raven community. The scene is about 3 miles from last week's fatal trooper-involved shooting at the Raven Mine No. 2. Kentucky State Police did not indicate whether the two incidents are related. There are no reports of injuries at this time.
A local recovery center has received a community development block grant. The Department for Local Government has approved the $200,000 grant for the Morehead Inspiration Center. The center, which opened in 2007, is the first recovery center in the state of Kentucky designated for men suffering with substance abuse. Jason Jones is the director. He says they couldn't receive the grant unless the community approved it first.
It has to be approved by the community here. The mayor would have to sign off on it. We have a grant officer who works with Recovery Kentucky and with Louisville to get the grant for us.
Jones says the grant is something the center depends on to help with expenses for drug treatment and personnel cost.
Rowan County's clerk will run for re-election in 2018. Candidates can begin filing to run on Wednesday this week, and Kim Davis says she hopes to be chosen for an additional 4 years in the clerk's position. Davis says the clerk's office is always very busy, and her position has a lot of work each day.
I was off with knee surgery, and my two deputies, my chief deputy and then my IT guy, said they learned a new appreciation for what I do, you know, so because it took both of them to do what goes on here, so it's a busy place.
Davis worked in the county clerk's office for 27 years before being elected in 2014.
If Rowan County is to acquire the site of Morehead State University's Sunnybrook Golf Course, it had better move on it while there's still time. That word comes from Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Blevins says because of pressure created by Kentucky's new performance-based funding system for higher education, MSU is looking to sell the 200-acre site off US 60 East as quickly as possible.
cost them points in their new system that's been put in place that wasn't there before, and they could hold on to that type of property. But now, because of the new formula funding, their performance-based funding, they need to get rid of that property. So I mean, if we can't do something, they're going to sell it to somebody, and it'll be lost to the public for the rest of our lives anyway.
The property has reportedly been appraised at $350,000. Sunnybrook has been discussed for years by officials from the county, the city of Moorhead, and MSU as the potential location for a new recreation park.
The Rowan County Airport is looking to fill some open positions, possibly with just one person. Airport manager Perry Sloan will leave the position at the end of November. He also serves as the fixed base operator and teaches flying lessons. Airport board chair Tim James says that Sloan's departure is amiable.
He was offered a position in management at another organization, and it has a benefit package that we're just not able to compete with. So, you know, we're happy for him. We wish him the best. We're sad that we're losing him, but we understand, and we just can't compete with it.
Those interested in the position should submit a resume, references, and a proposal to the chair of the Moorhead Rowan County Air Board at P.O. Box 934 in Moorhead.
A local charity organization is hosting an event to support Filipino children to attend their schools. Blessing Hands, a charity organization here in Moorhead, will be hosting Hoops for Children on Saturday, December 2nd. The event will raise money for 10 Filipino children to receive access to education for a year in their country. Participants can gather pledges from friends, family, and neighbors to take part in the event, which includes shooting basketballs, running laps, and other activities. Betty Cutts is the president and founder of Blessing Hands. She says locals have been supporting the initiative for a while.
We have a program in the Philippines, and there are local people here who have been implementing that program going back and forth to the Philippines. It's the Steve Hill family, and his wife is Jill Kawaka Hill. She was born and raised here.
Hoops for Children will take place at the Moorhead United Methodist Church gym from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on December 2nd. For more information, call Blessing Hands at 606-207-4785.
Another county in eastern Kentucky has illegalized a needle exchange program. WMKY's Brandon Smith reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Greenup County has designed its needle exchange program to look a lot like those in Boyd, Carter, Rowan, and 30 other counties in the state. The program's main goals are to protect the public from diseases like hepatitis C, along with helping clients understand the dangers of needle sharing and drug use. Those in Greenup's needle exchange can receive up to 40 syringes for their first two visits, and after that, it is a one-to-one swap. Clients will also receive a carrier for the needles to prevent breaking, a certified card to present to law enforcement for questioning, condoms, and information about diseases contracted both by needles and sexual interaction. The program only has 8 clients right now, but Director Chris Crum expects that number to grow as time goes on. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Brandon Smith.
Vanceburg officials will hold a pre-project meeting this week with the contractor hired to demolish an old factory in the city's downtown. Mayor Matt Ginn says the effort to raise the former L.V. Marks shoe plant has been held up for several weeks by the state while a survey of the property was conducted at the request of a neighboring property owner. Ginn says the delay should help the demolition crew with at least one challenge. It likely won't have to deal with all the snakes that had infested the dilapidated structure.
Actually, now, whatever, with moving into colder weather, and we've had a few cold nights, I don't expect that to be as big as an issue as before. We've been over and done some weeding and cleanup around whatever that area, whatever, so it's not as bad as what it was back in the summer. So I don't anticipate having this biggest problem doing it when this colder weather sets in.
Ginn expects the demolition work to start soon. It should take about 10 weeks to take down the nearly 80-year-old building. Vanceburg has received a $200,000 federal EPA brownfield grant and a $50,000 state cleaner Commonwealth grant for the project.
K Taking a look at the weather tonight, cloudy with rain developing after midnight, thunder possible, low of 44 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. Tuesday, rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers in the afternoon, high of 47, chance of rain at 70%. Tuesday night, cloudy skies, slight chance of a rain shower, low of 39. Wednesday, morning clouds will give way to sunshine for the afternoon, high of 53. Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, low of 38. Thursday, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon, highs near 55. Looking at the listening area temperatures, Flemingsburg, 51 degrees, Ashland, 55 degrees, Inez, 58 degrees, Lexington, 53 degrees, Winchester, 52 degrees, and in Moorhead, it is currently 54 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the U.S. House of Representatives approved a bill to refinance the Children's Health Insurance Program, but the funding scheme is unlikely to pass the Senate. Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman files this report.
On Friday, the U.S. House approved a bill to refinance the Children's Health Insurance Program, but the funding is still in doubt. 9 million children nationwide, including about 70,000 in Kentucky, get their health insurance through CHIP. Funding for the program expired on October 1st. The Republican bill that passed the House would offset the program's costs by slashing funding for public health services and denying health care to pregnant women and children while billing issues are resolved. According to Elliot Fishman with Families USA, it would cancel the health insurance if a marketplace premium payment is just 1 month overdue.
The estimate is that that would cut almost 700,000 people off from insurance every year if they move to that very short grace period before people are cut off.
In the Senate, at least 8 Democrats would have to join with the entire Republican majority to approve the measure, making passage of the bill very unlikely. But Fishman notes that time is running out. Since the funding expired more than a month ago, states have been scrambling to keep the program going, and some states soon will reach the end of their ability to do that.
We'll start to see families getting notices that CHIP enrollment is getting frozen or that kids with existing coverage will start to get cut off. And those notices are going to start to go out in the first states later in November.
CHIP has enjoyed broad bipartisan support since it was created in 1997 when Bill Clinton was president and the Republicans controlled both the House and Senate. But now House Republicans insist that any new spending for CHIP must be offset by cost reductions. Fishman says that standard is not being applied to the Republican tax cut plan.
We're talking about trying to cram down these really problematic pay-fors for the Children's Health Insurance Program while not even bothering to try and fit these giant tax cuts under a deficit-neutral framework.
Proposed Republican tax cuts would add an estimated $1.5 trillion to the federal budget deficits over 10 years. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
It's 448 and 54 degrees in Moorhead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
One final tune-up. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State men's basketball team plays its second and final exhibition game this evening. The Eagles will entertain NAIA member Cincinnati Christian at 7 o'clock. And Coach Preston Spradlin says, after last week's loss to Kentucky at Rupp Arena, that he's starting to get a better feel for MSU's potential playing rotation.
A little bit, you know, and they may change. It'll be so up and down this year, I'll be honest with you. You know, it may be one of those things where we don't start the same lineup the entire year. It may change throughout the year, just depending on when guys get it and their development and how competitive guys want to be and how badly they want to play.
The Basketball Eagles will start their 2017-18 season on Friday with a visit to number 17 Xavier. One of the veterans on the Moorhead State women's basketball team is looking forward to this season. After winning 21 games last year, the Eagles have been picked to finish third in the OVC. And junior guard Miranda Crockett says her team has just gotten better and better each year.
Yeah, we've got a lot more talent, I think, and then the people that were here before have increased their abilities as well.
The MSU women opened the season by entertaining Sacramento State on Saturday as part of the Matthew Mitchell Classic. In Monday Night Football, it's a battle in the NFC North as the Green Bay Packers host the Detroit Lions. WMKY's Xavier Atkins reports.
With Aaron Rodgers out with a broken collarbone, Packers backup quarterback Brett Hundley has struggled in his first two games, throwing four interceptions. 4-3 Green Bay will likely focus on giving the ball more to rookie running back Aaron Jones, who is ranked second in the NFL by averaging 5.6 yards per carry. The 3-4 Lions, who's lost three straight, have had their own problems scoring. Despite quarterback Matthew Stafford's gaudy passing statistics, Detroit ranks only 28th in the league in red zone scoring. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Xavier Atkins.
After falling to 3-5 following yesterday's 23-7 loss at Jacksonville, the Cincinnati Bengals are doing some soul searching as they look ahead to the second half of the NFL season. The Bengals struggled on offense, defense, and special teams in losing to the Jaguars. Quarterback Andy Dalton says they have a lot of work to do if they want to turn things around.
I mean, obviously we're not executing at the level that we want to. We need to play better, and it starts with the mentality of, you know, knowing that you're going to play better and telling yourself and trusting the guy next to you. And so, you know, we've got to, that's all we can say right now is we've got to put our head down and work, and we've got the Titans this week, and so got to get a win then.
The Bengals mustered up just 148 yards of total offense in Sunday's loss, also converting just 1 of 8 third down chances. After enjoying a bye week, it's back to work for the Morehead State football team as it readies for a visit to Marist next Saturday for a PFL battle. With just two games left to go in the season, head coach Rob Tenier hopes last week's downtime helped his Eagles regroup so that they can finish strong.
Hopefully we can refocus a little bit and get a little momentum there the last 2 weeks, take us into our second season and really motivate us to work harder and be prepared for a better season in 2018.
The MSU football team is 3-6 this season. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops hopes job one for him this week is not to help his Wildcats get their mojo back. Following Saturday's 37-34 last-second loss to Mississippi, Stoops was asked if it would be a tough chore for him to get the 6-3 Cats on their feet again after their gut-wrenching defeat.
It better not be. I mean, we can't let it be. We got to get back to work, and we have three big games left, and we've got to invest. You know, it should hurt a lot. If you invest a lot, it hurts. And our team is investing and working. And so the losses should hurt, whether any which way they come.
Jordan Tiamu's 7-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf with 5 seconds to go gave Ole Miss the win on Saturday. That score came just 2 minutes after Benny Snell's 1-yard score gave UK a 4-point lead. A player for Kentucky was arrested following that loss to Ole Miss over the weekend. KNN's Will Clark has more on that.
Lexington police arrested senior punter Matt Panton near the corners of South Upper and Bolivar Streets and booked him into the Fayette County Detention Center around 1:30 Sunday morning, just hours after the team's loss to Ole Miss. Panton's arraignment scheduled for November 20th. I'm Will Clark.
Panton has been suspended for the Cats' upcoming game against Vanderbilt this Saturday. Because of the suspension, Grant McInnes will punt for the Cats, causing him to lose his red shirt for the season. The Round County football team saw its season end last Friday with a 49-7 loss at Scott High School in the first round of the Class 4A playoffs. Despite ending the season at 3-8, Round County football coach Kelly Ford says he's actually pretty pleased with how the season went for his Vikings.
One of the goals that we have was to get the numbers back up, and we sure did that. We started the season out with 85, and I think I took 77 to the playoff game on Friday night. You know, that's counting our injuries and all, so for the most part, tickled to death with them.
Round loses 18 players from this year's team to graduation. Finally, in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team has a home match with OVC rival Eastern Kentucky tomorrow at Weatherby Gym. With his team at 13-14 on the year and 4-10 in conference play, MSU head coach Jimmy Gordon says this season has gone about like he thought it would.
I've been in this conference for 15 years, and so it played out exactly how I expected, which is, you have no idea how it's going to play out. You've got kind of the identity of the OVC when it comes to volleyball, is that on any given night, it's always an exciting time looking to see what the results are. So, it's been a little bit crazy.
Tomorrow's match is set to start at 6 o'clock. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball plays at home tonight at 7. It's an exhibition contest with Cincinnati Christian. Volleyball hosts Eastern Kentucky tomorrow night at 6 and Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. equities hit record highs as sentiment on Wall Street was lifted by news of corporate deal banking, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 9.23 at 23,548.42. The S&P 500 was up 3.29 at 2591.13, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 22, finishing at 6786.44. And, of course, this did represent all-time highs for the Dow and the NASDAQ as well as the S&P 500. And in deal-making news, it would definitely start off with Broadcom and their offer to buy fellow chipmaker Qualcomm for $103 billion. If completed, the deal would be the biggest in the history of the tech sector. Qualcomm rose 1%, while Broadcom rose 1.4% in today's trading. Elsewhere, shares of Advanced Micro Devices jumped on a report that the company will team up with Intel to compete with NVIDIA in the laptop gaming chip market. AMD traded 7.3% higher and was the best performer in the technology select sector SPDR ETF, which traded just above break-even. Intel rose 1.4%, while NVIDIA gained 0.4%. Also in other deal-making news, 21st Century Fox has been holding talks to sell most of the company to Disney, according to sources. The news sent Fox's shares up almost 10%. Disney shares rose 2%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 3% to finish at $57.34 a barrel, while gold was up 1% at $1,282 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up slightly, with the Stock 600 index up 0.13%. In Asia, stocks were also up slightly, with the Nikkei up less than 0.1%, and the Shanghai index was up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Disney and Chevron. The worst performers were Verizon and Dow DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Michael Kors and Chesapeake Energy, and the worst performers were Henry Schein and Cisco. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 21 cents at 68.45, CSX down 16 cents at 51.15, AEP down 37 cents at 73.71, AK Steel up 13 cents at 4.35, Marathon Petroleum up 17 cents at 62.37, and Community Trust Bank was down 10 cents to finish at 48.35. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Morehead State University has many points of pride, including the Upward Bound programs, which recently received more than $540,000 in grants from the United States Department of Education. The grants will be used to expand math and science services to students at 19 high schools in the region. The Upward Bound program, one of MSU's many points of pride. Major in you at Morehead State University. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu.
Actually, now.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, cloudy with the rain developing after midnight, then a possible low of 44, chance of rain at 90%. Tuesday, rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers in the afternoon, high of 47, chance of rain at 70%. Tuesday night, cloudy skies, slight chance of a rain shower, low of 39. Wednesday, morning clouds will give way to sunshine for the afternoon, high of 53. Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, low of 38. It is currently 54 degrees in Moorhead.
Taking a look at some events in your region, Music, Theater, and Dance in the MSU School of Creative Arts presents Gilbert's and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance by MSU Opera, directed and conducted by Dr. Roma Prindle. Performances are November 8th through the 11th at 7:30 p.m. in the Duncan Recital Hall. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition. This afternoon, we had help from Chuck Mraz, Sean Delaney, Brandon Smith, Logan Pemberton, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Jack Cottle, and Braxton Howard. Our feature segment today came from the Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.